Welcome to Vice and Easy, your podcast for all things Miami Vice, with your host, Marina.
Hello, and welcome back to Vice and Easy. This week, we are breaking down season 4, episode 12, Cows of October. I know you've all been chomping at the bit for this one. I do want to apologize for the delay in getting this episode out. I did have a lot of technical difficulties. My laptop is not that old, but it is just so full of stuff that when I would record, it would start overheating and the fan would keep going and I couldn't record in a clear, concise manner, and it was really frustrating. And then my battery would die. And I am trying to work smarter, not harder. So I just took a beat. I was like, okay, you know what? Let me put this aside. Let me reorganize my computer. Let me get rid of a lot of things that are taking up the storage and trying to, you know, make sure the battery is doing okay. So it was just very frustrating. But luckily, I was able to clear a lot of stuff out. I got my Dropbox account back. So I was able to clear a lot of stuff out, but it was still just very frustrating. And then I got some, I have no idea if it was a virus, an infection, an allergic reaction. It was just daylight savings. But yeah, I just felt like I got hit by a truck for 3 days and super lightheaded, headaches, really tired, just very lethargic. And yeah, I do not know what happened, but all is well. I'm trying to work smarter, not harder with my computer. So hopefully that continues. And this episode is a unique one. Let's give it that. I am, again, trying to stay positive. It was the plot. Just forgive me if I mess up some key points in the Emmy winning plot here. Let's get down to it. Season 4, episode 12, The Cows of October. Per IMDb, the synopsis is as follows. Miami Vice is on the trail of a stolen canister containing priceless semen of a prized bull called Gargantua. A dangerous Cuban spy is also after canister. But why? We open up on a couple of corrals. There are just some cows hanging around. They're waiting at a stakeout. Must be putrid smelling in there. I cannot even imagine. This little woman makes a drop and they're waiting for the guy. Just as a stampede of cows goes by. They're very much leaning into the Western theme this episode. Here's the clip.
I'll go check it out.
I had to look this up because obviously I know that score, but yes, the Red River. Now, they find a gentleman passed out with a silver canister next to him that looks to be emitting smoke. They're confused. They were waiting for Roxy, who did the drop. They're waiting for the other guys to pick up the drop. What is going on? Then, just as they're about to call in a bomb squad, the guy they were waiting for pulls up and taunts them just a little bit more.
Hello, officers. Lovely night for a cattle drive, don't you think?
I do not believe this. I want to know who the hell this guy is.
So, we cut as the bomb squad starts to close in on this smoking canister. After the intro, we're back at the lab at OCB, where we discover what's in that canister.
It might be some new form of liquid plastique. So we ran it through a scanner.
And?
Well, you can see them swimming if you'd like.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. You know, this stuff could cause quite an explosion.
I knew it.
In the cow population.
What is it?
Bull semen.
Bull semen.
Bull spark.
The fact they all have to repeat this is very funny. Then comes in a cowboy. Just a good old boy who just got caught up in all this. He was the one passed out. He's the one who diverted attention during the stakeout. And this is why Vice is involved. He is not happy about what has just transpired.
I come in from Texas with two tanks of gargantuous semen to ship to my partner in Belize. One gets stolen, the other gets ruined, defrosted by the cops.
Belize. Now, so again, Vice still laughing and still having fun with this. They meet with the Fed, Anderson. And just like almost every federal officer in Miami Vice, well, this one's not two-faced, but he is a little two-faced and also quite a fumbling, bumbling Fed. But you will know that voice anywhere.
Well, what are we supposed to do? Question happy cows with that sexual afterglow?
For your information, most cows don't enjoy it. That's why they have such sad eyes.
Because Harry Shearer, that's the voice you recognize, Principal Skinner, Kent Brockman, Mr. Burns, just to name a few, from The Simpsons. And I wonder if that was ad-lib, because those laughs sound so genuine. Oh, man. And also, this is the time where they see a picture of Gargantua. This is just a picture of Gargantua by himself. He has a nice little hump, little handsome, little black guy there. So Tubbs and Switek, of all people, are going to go check out what's this business all about. Now, I will say, Philip Michael Thomas makes a mean cowboy. He looks so handsome in all of his Western getup. I really like this look for him. But as we hear, the life of a rancher is not as enticing as one might think.
Warts, abscesses, ringworm. Gotta be cautious with pus and fungus. You don't want to contaminate yourself. These animals also sometimes have gut infections, and watch out for loose bowels, diarrhea. That could be a sign of some infestation.
Sounds great.
Yeah, well. Paco, come here and show these two how to check out a cow for pregnancy.
Oh, just, it's a lot. And they bring like the long latex gloves that you can use to check for pregnancy. Oh, and they're you could sense their stomachs turning. Now let's check back in with OCB. We have Gina and Trudy. Trudy looking amazing in this tight, shoulder hugging graphic print dress. Now they're looking at Gargantua as Calvin, the cowboy that I mentioned earlier. I forgot to give his name. He's telling them that unfortunately he's passed on. So this sperm that he's so interested in is like the last remnants he has. And kind of just like waxing poetic. Crockett is not a fan and thinks he is full of bull. Ha ha! Oh, please. Now let's check in. Because you know who would be involved in a weird kind of scheme like this out of nowhere? It's our boy, Izzy Marino. He is running, or he's selling whips at the park. And that's where Vice brings along Calvin to talk to Izzy.
You got a line on any bull semen thieves?
You got a line on $50?
Oh my God. It's just so, such a clever, witty one-liner. You got a line on $50? Hey, good for you, Izzy. You get paid. However, he says he knows who it could be, who is in the market to steal bull semen. But he's not going to talk. But let's let Switek persuade him.
I'm going to be busy the rest of the afternoon.
Well, then maybe a certain parole officer would like to find out where his girlfriend spends her Friday nights. Got a quarter?
It's not good for her.
No, you got a quarter?
I'm just trying to give back her self-esteem.
Wow. If he is sleeping with his parole officer's girlfriend. Oh, that's just too funny. I just love how like quick he is to defend it. I'm just trying to give her back her self-esteem. Now, while they're meeting in the park, someone is taking pictures of them. Thick Cuban accent, talking in the car. Looks like he has good quality stuff. Is he the Cuban spy that the synopsis hinted at? Maybe so. Now, they go to a bust. Trudy's black crop top outfit. Oh my God. That's why the header for this week's gallery is her and Tubbs looking amazing. Now, aesthetics aside, this meet that's going on, this is between Izzy, and that's why Vice is all there. So just as they're about to get close, guess who comes in to mess everything up?
Howdy, partners. You're busted.
In the name of the United States government, I place you under arrest. Put the tag in the ground, lay your hands against the truck. Put your hands in the air.
And that's when shots are fired. And even Trudy and Tubbs are like, wait, who's firing? Who, like, what's going on? So they're a little taken aback. And then as Anderson is walking back to his car with Zwietek and Tubbs, he finds a wrapped Montecito cigar with a pink ribbon that says, "It's a girl." He knows that that is from Rojas. Interesting. So what does this signal entail? Who would have thought that bull semen would lead to all this? So what is it about this? Semen, that makes it so special. Let's let Anderson explain. And this is such a Skinner voice. I love it.
Intelligence possibly be interested in here, huh?
Miniature cows.
Miniature cows. This gets better and better.
Okay, this is a picture of Gargantuan.
Oh, this has got to be a gag, Anderson. I didn't know cows came that small.
Yes, they do, Detective.
They do.
And the US of A plans to be in the forefront of bovine miniaturization.
I will also say that, like, obviously we're all laughing, but when they explain it, it does make sense that miniature cows take up so much less room and leave a smaller carbon footprint than cows, regular size cows, and still produce 2/3 of the dairy. So that does make sense. And then they also explain that this is the reason why other countries like Cuba are taking it, that this is a way to get more fresh dairy products for less, and to basically increase dairy without having to make larger farms. Oh, so it does make sense. Again, why is this on my advice? You... Oh, man. My note is Zwietek and Calvin are hanging out, and he's telling Zwietek about the potential the sperm has. I can't. All right, now let's go check in with Izzy. Okay, Izzy's apartment we saw not too long ago. Now Izzy is very much into this Wild West aesthetic that he attributes to his first wife later on in the episode, but we'll get to that later. Horseshoes all over the walls, mechanical bull. I didn't see this coming for Izzy, but it's interesting. And Calvin is at Izzy's apartment as he watches Izzy mount the mechanical bull in like one jump, which I obviously made a gif of. Now, they want to do this deal. So Calvin offers $86,500. Remember that number. And Izzy's going to offer that to Mr. Hermosa for the return of his, I wrote features, but bull futures. Now, that's a lot of money. But, you know, obviously this guy was expecting a lot of money from his bull semen. And not only that, of like the future promise of who he'd sell to. So this is when he tells Zwietek. And Zwietek, poor Zwietek, just wants to help out a good old boy.
86.5, well, that's kind of,
what?
That's an odd number.
Odd number?
Yeah, look, you're obviously a bright guy, but in the big city...
I'm just a big hick.
Well, no.
Oh, yes, I am, damn it. Now, just go on and speak your piece, man.
Well, we work with these fast operators all the time, and one thing you recognize, round numbers.
Round numbers?
Yeah, I mean, you never see a guy offer a bribe, say, $72 and change. It's always $100, 10 grand.
Or 100,000. Oh, but see,
Yeah, Stan, I mean, all I got on me is 90 grand because, you know, I didn't expect to get rolled in some strange city. I didn't prepare for it or...
Yeah, well, I've got some savings I was going to put into mutual funds, but with the markets are crazy and all, I'd be proud to invest in the future of a better world.
No, no, I couldn't let you do that, see, because... Well, I'd have to insist on one condition.
What's that?
And that's that your contribution entitles you to 5% ownership in Teal Enterprises. Because, see, I'd just assume that you got something for your money instead of just letting me have it, you know. And besides, if you're going to be standing behind me as an investor, I'd be honored if you was my partner, too.
Now... Once again, let's check in with Izzy. This time, Anderson is at his place. He wants Izzy's help. Izzy declines. Remember, Izzy has so many skeletons in his closet that I know he wants to be picky and he doesn't want to be where he is, being played by all sides. But yeah, this is how Anderson responds.
Right side, huh?
I salute the flag on your lapel, Agent Anderson, but,
But what?
But, I'm already engaged.
Well, I have some friends in the INS that, gave me some information that may help disengage you. Seems your immigration status is a little precarious.
Ingrid and I had a very special relationship. She taught me how to use the bullwhip. It's a tragic coincidence that we were divorced right after I got my green card.
Oh my god. Oh man. Then as Anderson lists off his warrants from Puerto Rico, Guantanamo Bay, he's like, okay, hold it. I know what's going on. But he lets him know that Hermosa knows that he has something valuable on his hands.
I'll tell you right now, Hermosa knows how valuable that tank is.
Hermosa?
See?
You mean Rojas doesn't have that tank?
No, Paco Hermosa. And he's not going to take a dime less than $200,000.
$200,000? Could raise that. It'd be wrong, but... No, $200,000, that's well within the purview of my authorization.
Now, as another recurring theme of this episode, Izzy gets a phone call from Rojas, who again also has... some persuasive material, or don't want to say blackmail, up his sleeve.
Red River Productions. See, this is he.
This is Rojas. I have just received a fax from Havana. It seems you still have many outstanding warrants. Shall I read them aloud to you?
No, that's okay. Comrade Rojas... I see. You are interested in the amazing bull product. Well, I don't know. We are a nation of card sharks.
Okay.
Give me the whole thing.
Play along.
Yes, I'll see what I can do, but it's going to cost you something in the neighborhood of $259,000.
I just love that it's just... Went from like 85 and change to 200,000, 259,000. Love it. You know, secure that bag, King. And so again, Anderson, as he was there for it, as he ran out, that's why when Izzy's like card shark, Anderson was like making kind of like a gesture at him on the phone. He couldn't understand. But yeah, he wants to make the deal tonight. So Anderson wants to do it. Oh man. So when Izzy meets with Rojas to make the deal, there's also a funny clip of him walking down. He's like, oh, hey, like, is this like, do you guys know Rojas? They're like, whoa. Like, not the smart way to do it. When he finally meets with him, Anderson takes a shot at them, which, of course, freaks them out. And Rojas and his goons, including a lady goon...
hired goons.
Take Izzy and throw him in the back of the car and kind of just like push him in. And then the lady goon jumps in head first. It's great. Again, I made a GIF. You can always see the gallery of each and every episode that I lovingly prepare for you all in the liner notes. And you can find me on Imgur at Vice and Easy Podcast. There is a typo in there. I forget what it is. So just follow the link from the episode description below. Now, we'll check in with Izzy in a second. He's obviously not going to be having a good time by what we could see. Anderson, once again, tries to defend his actions.
Nice going, Mr. Covert Operation.
Obviously, you two have a little to learn about the chess-like interaction of international intrigue.
Oh my God. He says it so deadpan, too. It's such Principal Skinner energy. I love this.
Yeah, like what?
Like the fact that our side just won a major battle in the Cold War of Animal Husbandry. Mr. Rojas just bought himself a load of our deluxe, oversized gun chewers.
Ah, well, that's all well and good when you can say that when you're have that kind of protection. You know who doesn't? It's our boy Izzy. He is tied up in a warehouse. He is getting very sassy with his captor, Rojas, and that's not going to work out well.
Dictador Francisco Moreno. Crimes against the revolution.
Defend la revolución, plantado.
Idiota! No me digas eso a mí. Either way, I go home with the spoils of capitalism. You or the mini cows? Maybe I'll take both. So who has my tank?
Nah, the tank! Actually,
works
for the U.S.
Yep, being yanked up by your feet and being held upside down, that would make anyone talk a little bit quicker. So then, Rojas gives him a booby-trapped briefcase, which has about $300,000. And again, Rojas can blow it up whenever he wants to. Oh, man. And they just leave him tied up as him and his lady goon head off. Now let's check back in with OCB as Calvin is just sweet-talking the ladies at OCB, giving them, I think, they're two buttercups. Okay, don't comment. I don't know these flowers. They look like small yellow roses. I want to say like bluebells or blue, yellow. I don't know, but they're cute flowers. Like these were the last two in the entire state of Florida. Crockett is back in his fish shirt from a couple episodes ago. And once again, he is not having Calvin's bull. He's going to pull his file and see who this guy really is. Now, back to Izzy. He is at his apartment trying to carefully touch the briefcase with, you know, if you get injured and you, it's kind of like a claw and you can operate it with your hand just by squeezing it. So he has that. And as he's trying to open it, someone calls and he freaks out.
Up with a better offer. Yeah. Yeah, it's about it's about $275,000.
Yeah. Izzy just cut a deal for Rojas to sell the tank for $275,000.
All these people prospering off of my hard work.
And as Izzy's making this deal, he says to meet him at the Albondigas Bridge. The meatball bridge?
It's gonna be at the Trasso today, near the Albondigas Bridge. And listen.
So again, I would really like to know if you're a Miami local, if there is a meatballs bridge, please let me know because I'm very curious. Or maybe he meant like Albert something, but it just kind of like, I swear, heard Albondigas. Okay. Now, they're gonna go make this meat. So he's gonna bring the suitcase. He's gonna bring the bull semen. It's finally going to happen. As Izzy is on the railroad tracks, it is very iconic, which I do love, because you have cars in each direction as Izzy is literally in the middle of the train tracks, knowing that he is definitely got himself into hot water.
The weird kind.
Oh. Now, this is very, very, very funny. You see Izzy smoking what looks to be like a clove cigarette with a black hat and a black bandana, you know, very fitting into this Western theme, looking at both sides. However, at the end, a guy comes with the sperm. The briefcase is right there. Anderson shows up, shoots at Rojas. Again, another shootout. No one is hurt. But again, they both leave, Rojas and Anderson. But guess what's also gone? The bull semen and the money. Oh my God. Zwietek is very pissed. Izzy knows he is in a lot of trouble. There's someone else who's definitely been in a lot of trouble. Well, 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 if it isn't our boy, Kelvin. Could you really believe that a sweet-talking old boy like him could do any harm? Now, again, like I always like to mention, con man stands for confidence man. Someone who will steal your money while shaking your hand with a smile. Turns out this guy definitely had it, as he has a rap sheet from Los Angeles to Denver, different aliases, stealing about $100,000 from investment bankers on a phony mutual fund deal. They also use the term bunco, which this is very sad, but basically people who would prey on the elderly and finesse them and fleece them of their money that way. Very sad. Oh man, like, oh, okay. Sorry, let's keep going. I never heard that term before. I know that bunco is a is it a game? I will look into that. Okay, continuing on, because, you know, with all my Real Housewives knowledge on Jen Shah, I've never heard the word bunco, and that was kind of exactly what they did. Elder, you know, abuse and fraud at that level. So Gina and Zwietek are really broken up about this. Zwietek holding his coffee mug out, holding the pot of coffee in his hand, just dropping on the floor. Gina's devastated. Once again, another handsome. To be fair, she has really bad luck with men. Your kind of married coworker who then gets married again, not to you. Then an IRA member. And then a con artist. And it gets worse. So poor, poor Gina.
Calvin?
Yeah. Sorry, Gina.
That miserable 10-gallon rat.
Speaking of con artists, Izzy and Calvin both hang out at Izzy's. Calvin has the sperm. He says it's the real tank. They keep talking, and they have a plan. So Izzy calls up Anderson, and Izzy offers him first dibs starting at $500,000. And then he calls Rojas. He has both of them on different lines. I love this. This is very old school. And they keep bidding against each other. Starts at $500,000, $550,000, $600,000. When it gets up to $1 million, Anderson can't sign off on that kind of money. So Rojas is the winner. And they plan to meet at the Miami River. And then he's like, keep an eye out for me between 12 and 6. Are you kidding me? What kind of hours are that? Are you installing cable? Just hang out by the river and wait for me for 6 hours. Good thing it's not like a super hot, sticky day. Jeez. Oh, man. Before we get to that, after Anderson has lost his bid, he's pretty peed at Calvin for getting this whole thing set up and, you know, calls him out on it. This is the way that Calvin defends it.
It's downright non-American.
Oh, listen, federal breath. If you can sell cola to the Chi-Coms, I can sure sell cows to Castro. Adios.
Hello.
Oh, man. And as we get to the drop, once again, I am directing you to the gallery, the Vice and Easy podcast gallery. Rojas waiting on top of his car with the briefcase, with a very much unbuttoned silk shirt and sunglasses, smoking a cigarette. It is so badass. This is how you want to look. Again, his lady goon, the you know, the buff one that Izzy mentioned, she's looking over. Just keep and watch for 6 hours, I guess, also Rojas is kind of watching from afar. Imagine you just, like, take a nap. Well, good thing you didn't have phones back then. You just totally miss it. Just be scrolling. Oh, man. So, right before they come to the bridge, and by they, I mean Izzy, sorry. Right before Izzy comes to the bridge, a big boat with Anderson on board comes to intercept him to switch out the tanks. Again, Izzy is very nervous. He knows he's already on very thin ice. He does not want to get killed. But, however, he has no say in the matter. And again, you kind of have, like, this fumbling scene. I tried to make a gif of it, but it didn't really work out. Of, like, Anderson having the, oh my God, I totally blanked on the word for it. Speakerphone? No. Oh my God, is it a loudspeaker? Okay, it is a loudspeaker. Sorry, I totally blanked on that. I had to go close. And again, so he's like fumbling between this. He doesn't know where to put it. And he like hands the canister back and forth between him and his other goon before handing it to Izzy. It is a whole mess. And oh man. I'm surprised that Rojas and his associate don't say anything when they notice that the boat kind of got intercepted. I would be a little bit more skeptical. Okay, when I say boat, I mean dinghy. That's really what Izzy's floating on. But Rojas is waiting. Vice is also waiting in the wings. Rojas makes the deal. Izzy pops open the briefcase. And oh my God, is that that? So Calvin is in a very nice hotel room with Izzy popping some champagne. So Izzy wants his cut, which is 20%. And he wants it now because he is very scared of Rojas once Rojas realizes that he got the actual full-size bull semen, not the miniature.
Yes. Well, it's too bad, because I was planning on introducing you to some permanent wealth.
Permanent wealth, huh? What do you mean, the M word or the B word?
I mean, so much money, your children's children couldn't even spend the interest.
Then he launches into this new spiel about bringing his product, miniature cows, to Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. He basically intrigues Izzy enough to make Izzy question. Once he starts talking about the money that Izzy could make, again, as a partner. Haven't we heard this before?
And you got all you can do to hang on to your little bitty green card. Well, hey, you know, I understand that. I mean, go on. Take your $200,000 and scoot. Of course, by the time I deliver on that paper, I'm going to be dropping 200K on tips.
Wait a minute now.
Yeah, so Izzy, again, once again, easy money. You know how Izzy likes it. So as he's listening to the spiel, he's definitely buying it. He's much more receptive than I would have thought. You could definitely see the shift in energy. So as Izzy takes the contract, Calvin is flying off to Dubai. And then he starts getting his luggage real quick. Izzy says he'll come downstairs with him. No, my cab's already here. Like, it's super sketch. About to make a hasty exit, but who else is at the door while it's our knight in shining armor? Crockett. Again, Crockett knows all that he is up to. Shows up with a handgun in hand to question our boy, Calvin.
Now, I started looking at this picture. There are a few things in here that bothered me. So I sent it over to Photo Analysis and had them take a look at it. It's a composite. See, the shadow from his leg here is from a picture taken at 12 o'clock noon. And the shadow on the bull here is from a picture taken after 5 o'clock. Very nice. And Paco Hermosa has been working for you from the beginning.
And you are good. I swear, man, you are real good. Be a cold day in July before someone put one over on you. Look, I'm going to take a wild stab here at an explanation. You can just tell me how it fits. Now, what's in that briefcase there belongs to me and Izzy.
Sí, es querido.
Shut up.
Because, I mean,
we sold that bull sperm to the Cubans. And they paid us for it, coin of the realm, fair and square. And what's in that briefcase there? It's ours.
Geopolitics ain't really my thing, cowboy. However, I am a little put off about the way you tried to burn my friends.
Well, I am sorely ashamed of that.
So I suggest you come up with a real good reason why I shouldn't haul your ashes into stir. Right now.
Well, okay. Now, you know that tank of mine?
That wasn't real stuff.
Well, Sonny, there never was no real stuff.
No.
There's only about 19 of them little suckers. They're off on some ranch in Mexico somewhere. See, Sonny, I never did break a single law.
Then he continues to double down and says that the Cubans paid for perceived value. Interesting. This is definitely a professional con man. Let's continue.
You really think I'll let you just stroll out of here?
Well, I'd be obliged.
The money stays.
You're not going to regret this, Sonny. This is a true act of Christian charity.
Y'all.
I want you to tell Stan and Gina. I'm going to make it right with them just as soon as I get back on my feet.
Izzy tries to sneak out of the hotel room, too. Crockett says, absolutely not. Sits him down. And this is after he's already left. And again, let's just assume he left quickly, Calvin. Whatever his name is, because as soon as they open the suitcase, it's full of magazines. Really? You guys got conned by the con man trying to stop his con after he conned your friends. And you got conned yourselves. Like, really, it's a con man, and you know this going into it. And he made you think that the punishment of taking the money would be better for everybody involved, knowing that that briefcase wasn't full of the money. You didn't check that before this whole deal. You had a gun in your hand. Oh, man. And again, remember, like he says, like, oh, ain't no one ever going to pull nothing over you. Crockett just got fleeced. Let's check in with Calvin now, because remember, he's not going to change his stripes. He's right back at it again.
In Alice Springs, we don't yet have the pressing need for the mini cars because we still got a lot of space. But you lot, when you take over in Hong Kong in another few years, why, I reckon you got to utilize all the space you got. So, let's start the pilot project now, and then, thank you. Another few years, you'll have a little herd of cows on every rooftop in Kowloon. Now, have a look at that little bugger, eh? He's no bigger than a wallaby. You know, we're
Right, he's right back out again. Saying that Hong Kong would return just kind of like took me out. I was like, oh, yeah, this is way before then. Like, that's, I guess, 97. Yeah, it just kind of like that took me out of it. I was like, oh, yeah. And the fact that this was also during the Cold War really took me out of it. Yeah. So that was a kind of like an enjoyable end of the episode where, like, yeah, you know, no one got hurt. They got fleeced. And this is serving you all a message to try to not fall for scams and to not believe. And sometimes if it's too good to be true, it is. And that the people who seem the most sweet, well-mannered, trusting, like, it could be an act. I'm not saying this to make you just suspicious of people, but don't give people your savings. Oh, man. And with that, let's break it down. Now, and naturally, this comes as no surprise. Our best dressed, or as I say, best dressed duo, Tubbs and Trudy, with Tubbs in the cowboy hat and the Canadian tuxedo, Trudy with that black crop top, looking like a million bucks. Gina and Trudy, Trudy in a pink shirt, long dangly earrings, Gina in a silk cross top, crossbody top with black border, looks beautiful. And I also love Trudy's graphic white and black print dress. My best dressed man, again, as a surprise to nobody, it's going to be Ross. Sitting on his car, looking like a million bucks. Now, I'm surprised I didn't mention this throughout the episode, I think because I had to say the word semen so many times. Look at how tight Calvin's pants are. I was like, ouch, that is God hurt. I was just like, oh, I am very distracted right now. And it's funny, I guess I like didn't scroll that. I kind of like scrolled by it when I was looking at the gallery, but I was like, maybe, I don't know, I think I have to make this episode explicit anyway. But, oh man. But you know what? I like that he is a good enough con man to really like keep changing. Cowboy, Australian businessman, like just keep going, keep going, keep going. Take that ethos of keep going and being able to reinvent yourself, but just don't con people out of money. Now with music, as you have noticed, there's nothing top 40 this episode. It is all old Western stuff because you have two songs from Red River and then you have the theme song from The Good, Bad, and the Ugly and The Magnificent Seven. So very much leading into the Western. I think this could have been done, obviously, exponentially better if you had kind of gone back to the Texas Rangers that we had in El Viejo and that lore. And I think that would have been super cool. I really wanted to learn more about this episode. But yeah, I guess maybe they just needed some comedic laughs and kind of to showcase Izzy. Maybe people were tired. Who knows? It's not the worst. I could actually get through it and it was like somewhat enjoyable. And Harris Shearer actually really made me like this episode because I could just drop in to Principal Skinner and Kent Brockman, more Principal Skinner the entire episode. But this is not Vice tea at all. This is very light because I couldn't really find any Vice tea on Harry Shearer, which is good. Super long, prolific career that I cannot even begin to touch with Saturday Night Live and everything with Christopher Guest and Mike McKee. Like, huge, 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 huge. But now, today I learned the reason why Dr. Marva Monroe was killed off The Simpsons. Apparently doing the voice was so difficult for Harry Shearer that they didn't want to make him a regular character, which makes a lot of sense because that was way in the beginning of the series and Harry Shearer was born, I want to say 1945. So he's getting up there. And he has said that doing Burns' voice is also really tough at his age. I was reading kind of through the different negotiations and, you know, like contracts within The Simpsons for the voice actors, because obviously nobody ever expected to go this long. And it is so much harder as you get older to preserve your voice. So I do understand that. But I was like, I never realized that's why Dr. Marva Monroe was killed off. Which popular Simpsons character? Haha, we are kidding. Dr. Marva Monroe was never a popular Simpsons character. But aside from that, yeah, I could not find any Vice tea on him. He seems really nice. He has houses in New Orleans, Santa Monica, and he did a documentary about the failure that led to Katrina. And I thought that was actually really cool. Him and John Goodman paired up with that. And both live in New Orleans and are not from New Orleans, which I thought was really cool. Aside from that, what else can I really talk about this episode? Let's get to some quotes of the episode.
You got a line on any bull semen thieves?
You got a line on 50 bucks?
Izzy coming in as quote number one.
For your information, most cows don't enjoy it. That's why they have such sad eyes.
Anderson with quote two.
I'm just trying to give back her self-esteem.
I don't know why that just cried. Oh my God. So we got three great quotes of the episode. And the winner is, I need to get like a little drum roll sound. I'll get that for the soundboard next time. The quote of the episode as we wrap up this episode of Vice and Easy. Once again, thank you for listening in. Thank you for tuning in, leaving reviews, subscribing, supporting the podcast however you can. You can find me on all things social at Vice and Easy Podcast, except for my imager, which has a typo and I forget where it is. But you can just always find the link to each and every episode's gallery in the descriptor notes. Thank you once again so much for joining me. I do apologize for the delays, and I look forward to seeing you next time. As we sign off...
For your information, most cows don't enjoy it. That's why they have such sad eyes.
Hey, man, Miami Vice is number one new show.